happy to have in studio with us today Colleen Fritsch. She is the statewide Dementia Friends Champion Coordinator. And we are so glad that you are stopping in today to talk about something that's near and dear to your heart. Colleen, how have you been?
I've been fine. I am very glad that spring is here.
No kidding.
And it's starting to feel like we can put the worst behind us and I'm ready to go forward.
I bet you are. Now, you work with a lot of people, obviously, with your dementia friends, not only that are caregivers, but also that, you know, are dealing with dementia issues. This must have been a really tough thing to try to explain to somebody why they all of a sudden had to wear a mask. And I can't imagine what it has been like for people that have some cognitive issues to try to understand the world, because we don't understand the world even if you don't have issues.
Yeah, it has been a hard time. The best strategy that I have heard facilities and caregivers use is, you know, there's a really bad case of the flu going around and we don't want you to get it. And moms and dads and great aunts and uncles remember the flu and remember viruses. And so they want to protect themselves and they want to protect their family. And then eventually the masks became more normal. But keep in mind that once people had their household and their household had been together for those 2 weeks, then when they were around their household, they could be without the masks. And so then it was easier to explain to them, we're going out in public, there's a bad flu virus in town, we're going to be sure we're all protected. And so that didn't work for everyone, but I know that worked in a lot of cases to help people make sense of it.
So you've been a champion of Dementia Friends for a long time. For people that don't know about, is it a movement? Is it an organization? What exactly is it, please?
So thanks for asking. Dementia Friends actually started in the United Kingdom about 12 years ago because they're a little ahead of us on the age wave. And the Prime Minister of England actually said, as a country, as a culture, as people, we need to find a way to understand what's going on with our people living with dementia, come alongside them and support them on their journey. And so, not surprisingly, Minnesota then, 6 years ago, was the first state in the United States to adapt that curriculum and bring that curriculum here to create an age-friendly, a dementia-friendly Minnesota. And so we've been doing this for about 6 years now here in the state of Minnesota. And it has, of course, spread from there. There are now 30-some states that have a Dementia Friends initiative going on in their state. And it's really simple. It's just, how do we, as friends and as neighbors and grocery store clerks and faith communities, how do we understand what's going on with the people in our lives that are living with dementia? And then with that understanding, how do we then better communicate with them and support them on their journey?
So is every state run differently, or is there a broader oversight? I don't quite
understand. So the National Association of Area Agencies on Aging, because it's a mouthful,
Okay. Oversees
it for the United States. And then there is now a Dementia Friends International. So not only is it in the United Kingdom and in the United States, it's in over 50 countries around the world, including India and Kenya and Ireland. So it's making its way around the world. Dementia isn't our issue. It's our world's issue.
And how long do you think we have really been in tune to dementia in this country? I mean, is it something that, going back two generations, that we really we looked at it as something that we could do, like you said, walk along somebody and help them?
I think that's relatively new, sadly.
Yeah.
I remember I was doing a presentation where a young person, someone in her 30s, sat off to the side and was just in tears. And I went over to her and said, you know, it's not going to hurt my feelings if you'd be more comfortable leaving. She said, no, I have to understand. And so she and I talked afterwards. And when she was a little girl, her grandpa had dementia. And her grandmother would lock him in his room when he was having a bad day, when she couldn't get him to be right. And really, we just didn't know.
So was it a lack of understanding, education? I mean,
Well, remember when we used to call people senile, or we used to use the word demented? But dementia is a disease. Dementia is a disease that is eroding a person's brain, starting at the outside of the brain and working its way into the brainstem. And now that we understand it as a disease, now that we have MRIs and CAT scans and whatever that can actually show us the deterioration of the brain, it's a lot easier to say, no, you can't expect them to understand your world. Your best option is to understand their world. Meet them where they are. Literally, as I said, come alongside them in their journey. Don't expect them to come alongside you and yours. They just can't anymore.
So is dementia the umbrella term for all things underneath it that have to do with cognitive ability? I don't quite understand how it all works.
So dementia is the umbrella term that describes a series of symptoms that make it impossible for a person to complete normal everyday tasks without help. The other thing that dementias have in common is that they will all one day lead to brain death. Among those, and there are like 60 different forms of dementia, but 60 to 80% of all dementias are Alzheimer's disease. And so that's why we often use the terms interchangeably, but you've probably heard of frontal temporal dementia and dementia with Lewy bodies and vascular dementia. There are other dementias. It's not just Alzheimer's. It's just that the vast majority of them are Alzheimer's disease.
And so the umbrella term can't have an umbrella way of understanding people then.
Right. So what I learned from the Alzheimer's Association when I received training to do this is that if you know one person living with dementia, you know one person living with dementia. But our brains are so complex. Our brain wiring, my brain wiring is different than your brain wiring. My brain wiring is different than my sister's brain wiring. And so as people get dementia, it works its way around the brain and affects different areas in different sequences. And so we just need to be aware that it's more than just memory loss. Can I say that again? It's more than just memory loss. And we need to understand that this is a disease. It is not a lack of self-control. It's not a, oh, she just let herself go.
So when you say it's more than just memory loss, that certainly is a key part of it, though, isn't it?
It is, and it's certainly what people notice first. So they will, especially recently learned information or recent events are stored in the exterior part of the brain. I hope your listeners can see the hand gestures I'm doing here. That'll help. That's the area of the brain that is affected first. So for instance, my mother-in-law's microwave broke. And we got her a new microwave. And she could never so much as reheat a cup of coffee in that microwave because no matter how many times we wrote out the instructions, she could not learn this new microwave. Had I known then what I know now, I would have known that that's one of the early signs or symptoms is not being able to retain recently learned information.
So would the way to help her have been to buy the same microwave?
Certainly, if it was available.
What are some of the other things, though, that we can do? Because you don't want to frustrate somebody, right?
So what I say is if it doesn't matter, it doesn't matter, right?
Most things don't matter, do
exactly.
they, Colleen?
Exactly. So there are times when dealing with a person living with dementia, when you need to intervene, when it's a matter of their safety or someone else's safety, then you need to intervene and redirect. But all the rest of that stuff, if they don't feel like brushing their teeth today, if it doesn't matter, it doesn't matter. If they don't feel like combing their hair, if they think that Jimmy Carter is still president, what difference does it make? I know we want people to be right. We want people to understand, but they can't. And so it's our challenge to understand where they are and meet them there. And again, if it doesn't matter, it doesn't matter.
Well, you're saying that, but I think there's a lot of people that just, they can't get past that piece where they try to correct people or, and we're not supposed to do that.
Well, it's not helpful
to do
that.
It's frustrating, I think, for both people, right?
Exactly. And that's the other thing I know about dementia. One of the very last things a person living with dementia will lose is their ability is their survival instinct, which includes their ability to recognize a friendly face, to detect tension in someone's body language, or to hear in somebody's tone of voice if they're having a bad day. And they get that, and they respond to that. So, yes, I understand. It can be very frustrating caring for and caring about someone living with dementia. But sharing that frustration with them isn't going to help anything. Be aware of your body language, your tone of voice, and your facial expression when dealing with them. And then when you're removed from that situation, when you're in a safe space, hopefully with friends that can understand, that's the time to express the frustration and the exasperation.
Colleen, do most people that have dementia know they have dementia? Because I think we all worry about if we forget something or we can't remember the last time we did whatever, and then we worry about that. But do people with dementia know that they have dementia?
So let me answer that in two different ways.
Okay.
First of all, there's a difference between forgetting and memory loss. Forgetting is, oh, Colleen, you were supposed to be here at 3 this afternoon. And I say, oh, Mo, I'm sorry. I'll be right there because you reminded me and I remembered. But if you said to me, Colleen, you were supposed to be here. And I went, when did we make that plan? I don't remember making that plan. That's a memory that is lost. And that's a warning signal. That's a flag that we may need to have some analysis done and some intervention. So people worrying about, might I have dementia? There are some key tips we can give them to sort out the early signs and what might be normal and might be an early sign of Alzheimer's or dementia. For that person living with dementia, at the early stages, yes, they know they have dementia. But if we can make them all right, if we can, as I say, join them in their world, then it isn't about the disease. It's about the quality of their life. It's about their happiness. It's about their satisfaction, their peace of mind. And we can help provide that.
So, Colleen, you are really so passionate about this. I know that there's a statewide event, and it's going to be all month long in the month of June. Tell our listeners about that, please.
Sure. So June happens to be Brain Health Awareness Month. And I have this crazy idea that now that we're opening our doors and we're going outside and we're connecting with our neighbors again, maybe if we have more dementia friends, they can do a better job of supporting and understanding their friends and neighbors living with dementia. So this initiative for the month of June is called Friends in the Neighborhood. And our goal is to create 5,000 more dementia friends in the state of Minnesota. As I'm talking to you today, there are 21,057 dementia friends in the state of Minnesota. But wouldn't 26,000 be better?
Much better.
Much better. So all through the month of June, we're going to have Dementia Friends information sessions. It's a one-hour session where you learn some of the very basics about dementia, including the 10 early signs and symptoms. We talk about the different areas of the brain that are affected by this disease in addition to memory. And then we talk about, now that we understand that, what are some communication tips that we can use to better support someone living with dementia? And so these information sessions, most of them for the month of June, are going to be via Zoom. So you can go to Dementia Friends Minnesota. Just Google Dementia Friends Minnesota. That'll take you to the website. There's a button that says Find a Session. And so if you're available on a Tuesday morning, register for a Tuesday morning class. Or if a Saturday morning works best or a Wednesday evening, there are sessions all different days of the week, all different times throughout the month of June. And then you can just register, spend 1 hour there. You don't have to worry about travel time to get there. You don't have to worry about whether or not it's raining. You don't have to get dressed up to attend. Just show up in front of your computer and give us 1 hour so we can help you understand better people living with dementia. The added advantage of doing this via Zoom is that if you have an aunt in Alabama who's living with dementia and the family is having trouble understanding and supporting what's going on there, send them the link too, and they can join. And they can become dementia friends and do a better job, hopefully, of supporting that your aunt in Alabama.
So it's the same presentation held multiple times during the month of June.
Right. There are about 100 Dementia Friends champions, like myself, around the state of Minnesota. And we've just signed up for a bunch of them. Some are being co-presented with two champions. Some is just one champion. But it's the same presentation. It's the same curriculum, for lack of a better word to describe it, being presented different days of the week, different times of the day throughout the month of June.
And what do you hope comes out of this, Colleen?
My hope is that it is so easy to make life better. Mo, would you believe that you and I can, with a couple of little changes, we can make life better for someone living with dementia? But I promise you we can. And so wouldn't it be lovely if 5,000 people are a little bit more in tune and a little bit better able to understand and support someone with dementia? That's my dream. We're going to all be out in the summer. We're going to have family picnics. We're going to have church picnics. We're going to have Hastings Rivertown days. Let's do a better job of supporting our friends that are going to be there. 70% of people living with a diagnosis of dementia are still in their homes. They're not in assisted living. They're not in memory care. They're in their homes. Mo, that means they're in our churches. They're in our grocery store. They're in our library. They're at a Rivertown Day celebration. So if we understand what they might need in order to stay comfortable and stay connected, how much better is their quality of life if they're still connected to their friends?
It's a wonderful initiative, Colleen. Tell people again the website.
So if you would just Google Dementia Friends Minnesota, I usually do Dementia Friends MN, and then it's the parent website is Act on Alzheimer's. And so the icon, the response that comes up is actonalz.org, Dementia Friends Minnesota, and click on that. And that will connect you to everything that's going on across the state. And it doesn't matter if you're here in Hastings and the presentation that you're tuning into is being given in Park Rapids, it doesn't matter because they're right there in your home giving you that presentation.
Wonderful information. Thank you so much. So it's an all month long celebration to help people become better friends and helpful to people living with dementia. Thank you so much. Colleen Fritsch, she is a statewide Dementia Friends champion, and you see why. And we wish you great success with this. It's a wonderful thing. Friends in the Neighborhood is what the program is called, and we hope that you are able to join in on one of their calls online. And you are listening to another edition of Community In Depth on AM 1460 and FM 97.7 KDWA in Hastings.